Right now, we're going to talk about love and text messaging. Today's technology can be an excellent tool to connect people and maintain relationships, especially where distance makes it difficult to communicate. Consider text messaging. Sending messages over mobile phones is most popular among teenagers and people in their 20s and 30s. But sometimes you can have too much of a good thing. Natalie Moore is one person who believes that text messaging is slowly killing romance. She's a reporter for Chicago Public Radio and recently wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post about the pitfalls of texting. And we want to hear from you. How has text messaging changed the dynamics of your relationships? Call us at 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or email us at talk@npr.org. And as always, the conversation is at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. And Natalie Moore joins us now from member station WBEZ in Chicago. And Natalie, welcome.
Thank you, Anthony.
I loved your piece. Do you text and how often?
I do text, and I should be very, very clear about that. Texting is efficient. My concern is when you start going overboard, but I do text. It has increased over the past couple of years, no doubt, and it is an effective form of communication. But as I pointed out, quoting an expert, texting is good for sharing information, not emotion.
Now, you write a piece when the sort of word of caution in the piece is that text messaging can be a bad thing and that, in fact, it is slowly killing off romance.
I do.
that's quite an indictment.
Well, I believe in live, authentic interactions with people. And too much texting, I think, falls into the realm of too much MySpace or too much Facebook, where you think you're really connected to people, but it's this fake intimacy that you're really creating instead.
Hmm. Well, give us an example of that. Spell out a little bit the situation that you wrote about in the piece. I mean, you're talking about a sort of courtship with someone who is using text messaging to sort of, you know, say the L word again and again.
Yes.
And that doesn't quite cut it.
It doesn't. And this is someone who I spent time with in person. Our relationship was not only over text, but when we were dealing with phone communication, that was his preferred method. And at first I thought, okay, well, I don't usually have boyfriends, so maybe I didn't get the memo, and this is what you do in relationships. And
you
it
have
just
textual
got
relations,
be,
right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
It got to be too much. And you know, everybody wants to be told, I love you. And it didn't really click later. Oh, my gosh, this person sent this over text and didn't say it in person. And I called him because, of course, I wanted to hear those lovely words out of his mouth. And he texted me back, call you later. The one thing that I learned about him in this relationship is that he used texting as a means to... It reflected his personality. I should say that his behavior with texting really jived with his own passive aggressive behavior. Another time, I didn't have my phone on me on a Saturday afternoon. I was hanging out with a friend. We were doing the spa restaurant, hanging out. Well, by the end of the day, I had a bunch of texts saying, "Well, I guess it's over because I haven't heard from you today." And it's like, wow, I wasn't on my phone for hours. I talked to you yesterday. I would have called you today. So it also forces the hand of people. Like, I want you to respond to me right now. That's why I'm texting you.
800-989-8255. Give us a call at 800-989-TALK and tell us what you think about text messaging. Has it changed the dynamic of your relationships? Let's take a call. Let's go to David, who's calling from Phoenix. Hello, David.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well.
That's good. Text messaging, I think, opens more doors to communications, but it can sometimes be a problem. My mother, who's retired, has discovered the joy of texting, and she'll text me constantly at work because she knows I can't always answer the phone. And she one time text messaged me that she loved me, and I thought it was the person that I was seeing at the time or trying not to see. And I responded that you needed to leave me the blank alone. And then I had to spend the next 2 or 3 days trying to convince my mother that I wasn't angry at her and that it was quite okay for her to keep text messaging me.
And that can happen because when you text someone back, you can just hit the reply. And if you think it's one person, then obviously that reply is going to go to the person who sent the text, right? And that's what happened in that case?
Yes, I learned the valuable lesson of checking the number first.
Well, okay, there's one of the rules. Check the number first. Thanks, David. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Not a problem.
Speaking of rules, Natalie, what are the rules?
Well, as one person said, a text that's more than 100 characters should be in an email.
Or how about a phone call?
Or a phone call.
Or a conversation over dinner.
Or over coffee or something. Absolutely.
800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Let's go to Teresa, who's calling from the Bay Area. Teresa, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. It's Teresa with a P. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm on the cell phone. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah,
well.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Well, you know what? I met my husband now. We have one child through messaging. I think I owe it to that greatly because we went on our first date, and it was okay. The second date was a disaster, and we both kind of agreed not to see each other again. But then I went home, and I just felt kind of weird and awkward and kind of feeling like, oh, I don't know if I did the right thing. And then about 12 o'clock midnight in bed, I picked up my phone, and I just texted him. And I said, you know, we should really meet, you know, Sunday, whatever. Let's have a cup of coffee, Starbucks, and let's talk about it a little bit more, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and that just did it. And from that point forward, you know, we just kept in touch through text. We did live in two different cities. And I think that really helped us stay close and stay in touch. But then after, obviously, we got serious, we disconnected. And, you know, we're not texting at all anymore now, you know.
I see. So in your case, text messaging really sort of lit the fire under this relationship, it sounds like.
It really did, and it kind of made things a little bit more informal, you know, and just kind of, you know, helped us get connected a lot more quicker, and I want to say from the start.
Okay.
But on the other hand, I do want to say this. My tenant started text messaging me about all kinds of things about the, you know, the house that he's renting, and then as well as issues about rent and stuff, and I told him right away, listen, I don't want you to be text messaging me. You know, I need you to write me an email or call me, you know, and I put a stop to that right away. So I think, you know, there's different uses of it, of course.
Parisa, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Natalie Moore, Americans are actually a little behind the curve when it comes to text messaging. Isn't that the case? Our counterparts in Europe and Asia are way ahead of us on this. They do a lot more.
Right. I mean, there's some talk that's saying, you know, Japan is the nation of thumbs, that people are using their thumbs now to ring doorbells instead of their index fingers.
Well, on that note, let's take a call from John, who's calling from Florence, South Carolina. John, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
I lived in Japan starting in 2001, and we got over there. I was on the JET program. I would have been 25 at the time, and texting was almost exclusively the way to communicate, not only with your friends, but with people that you were having relationships with. And moving back to the U.S., things are quite different, at least in my age subset. So I'm 29 now, and plenty of times I will text folks and text people who I expect a reply who have no idea how to even do it, which I found surprising. And I was wondering if Natalie thought that there was a cultural difference between maybe Americans and like you said, Asians and Europeans that either promotes or prohibits texting as a form of communication.
What do you think, Natalie? What are your thoughts on that?
I do think that there is a cultural difference, but there's also a cultural difference right here in the U.S. I talk about there being digital natives and digital immigrants, people who grew up with technology and those who came to it later in life. I'm somewhere in between as a Gen Xer. I didn't always have technology, but I wasn't so far along in age that it was hard for me. I did get one email from a guy who was 30, and he said, you know, I tell my friends over 30 that texting is for people who are having an affair or are teenagers. So, and there's so many stories out there and commercials about parents deciding, you know what, to get in touch with my kid, I'm going to text them. So it is utilitarian in some ways, and there is a cultural piece that's there, but I also think if I didn't return my mom or dad's call, they wouldn't just send a text. They would come get me, or I would be in trouble. And so some people see texting as an alternative to reaching and using the language of their children.
John, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Robin, who's calling from Naples. Hi, Robin.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Well, when my husband and I first met,
He's from Cuba, and he taught himself English, but he taught himself how to speak it. He never really, you know, he couldn't spell, things like that. But when we first started dating, we used texting a lot, you know, during the day, little notes here and there, and it really helped him, you know, learn, you know, how to spell, how to, you know, put sentences together in English, and it really helped in that respect also in keeping us, you know, in touch during the day, but it also helped him in that way too.
Very interesting. Listen, thanks for the call, Robin. I appreciate that. Natalie, I want to come back to you. What's the worst text message you ever received?
Oh, gosh. There's so many ways to probably answer that question. I really think that that worst text was just a series of, I haven't heard from you, so you must be breaking up with me. And that was a way to push my buttons, because I would have called this person eventually. But I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm not breaking up. It was a power play, I think. Also, there's a lot of tone and nuance that's lost in texting. So sometimes you don't know what someone is really thinking or what they're trying to get across to you. And that's hard to read during a text. But I must say that, you know, being woken up from a drunken text at 3 a.m. isn't fun either.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Natalie Moore. She's a reporter with Chicago Public Radio, and she joined us from member station WBEZ. We've posted a link to her op-ed, Rule of Thumbs, Love in the Age of Texting, at npr.org/blogofthenation. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.